بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters in Islam, after the praise to Allah Almighty and glory, and peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah Almighty, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And who we are once again, gathered in this blessed place, the greatest and the most beloved places to Allah Almighty, the house of Allah. And you are the guest of Allah. And as Allah Almighty says in the hadith, that it's a right on the one that's been visited to be generous and to give the best hospitality to his guests. So you are those ones who are the guest of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Once again, we are in this night to remember another great companion, another great warrior, another great hero of Islam, another great Sahabi, a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, and we ask Allah, maybe by us remembering those great men, we will try and become, if not become fully like those men, but something from those men. They are the great companions of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are those ones who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of nations are those ones after me, and then those ones after them, and then those ones after those who come in the third of the century after the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And one of those great companions, and one of those early ones in Islam, and one of those ones who Allah loved, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, his heart is full of iman. And Allah azza wa jal revealed a verse. Allah revealed a verse because of an incident that he went through. It's Ammar bin Yasir, the first family in Islam, Ali Yasir. And Ammar comes from that family. Yasir, the father of Ammar, he had a lost brother. And he went to look for him one day. Until he arrived to Mecca, he liked Mecca and he loved Mecca. So he wanted to stay in Mecca and stayed under the protection of Hudhayfa ibn al-Mughira. And Hudhayfa ibn al-Mughira had a female slave. Her name is Sumayya. And Hudhayfa liked Yasir, the father of Ammar, and that's of course before Ammar was born. He liked him so much. And because of that, he married off his female slave, Sumayya, to him. So Yasir got married to Sumayya. And from Yasir and Sumayya, that great companion comes along, which we're speaking about tonight, is Ammar bin Yasir. And the whole family of Yasir, Sumayya, and Ammar are the first family. When I say the first family, are the first people all together after the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to become a Muslim in the history of Islam. And it's that family that fought, and it's that family that struggled and sacrificed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, facing a lot of the hardships that the people of Mecca used to persecute and torture the believers who became Muslims and followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, will go past the family of Yasir and say, Sabran ala Yasir, fa'inna maw'idakum al-jannah. Oh, the family of Yasir, have patience. Oh, the family of Yasir, have patience. Allah had promised you the paradise. Oh, the family of Yasir, have patience. Allah had promised you the paradise. And it was that day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to open the heart of Ammar bin Yasir to become a Muslim. And it was only those few years after the prophecy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is calling people to the deen of Allah secretly for the first 3 years in Mecca, until Allah ordered the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to disclose his preaching of Islam to people. And it was Yasir radiallahu, Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who hears about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then gives himself few minutes to think about the truth. And it was only needed to give themselves only few minutes to think about the truth. And Ammar bin Yasir gave himself those few minutes to sit down and to think about, how can I worship an idol that I make and manufacture with my own hands? How can I prostrate to something that can't even help or serve or protect itself? As we all know, they used to all, at the time, or before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to worship idols. They make it with their own hands, and then they start prostrating to something that they just made with their own hands. So Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought about it and realized that can't be right. And then he heard about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he wanted to really hear what Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has. So he went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to hide him and his companions in a house of the Arqam. And Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says his story, that when he arrived nearby the house, he saw a companion, he saw a man by the name of Suhaib bin Sinan. So Ammar told him, "Oh Suhaib, what do you want from coming to here?" So Suhaib told him, "What do you want from coming to here?" So Ammar said, "I want to listen and hear what Muhammad has to say. And if it's something that I accept, I want to follow Muhammad." So Suhaib said, "By Allah, I came for the same reason." So they went in into the house of Arqam, sat in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter the hearts of those two great men, Ammar and Suhaib, and was for them to say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu," and they both became Muslims, and they walked out the Dar al-Arqam to preach to others and to bring others into the deen of Allah. There were only near 30, or there was about 30 of them who were Muslims at that time. After those 3 years where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam disclosed his da'wah and started to preach to people openly, the non-believers of Mecca started to persecute and punish the believers and the Muslims and the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As it is all the time, the people of the truth face hardships at the beginning until Allah Azza wa Jalla opens up for them in a time that Allah knows best and better. And Ammar bin Yasir, because he comes from a poor family, his mother is a slave, he did not have that strength and that power and that respect and that honor of coming from a great family like the rest of the other people. And here Ammar and his whole family are taken to be persecuted, to be punished, to be put under the sun in the middle of the day, to be burnt with boiling and hot metal to be put over their bodies. And radiallahu ta'ala anhum, have patience. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will go past one day and say, "Sabran ala Yasir, sabran ala Yasir, sabran ala Yasir. Oh, the family of Yasir, have patience, 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 oh the family of Yasir. Allah had promised you paradise." And that day, where they took the mother and the father of Ammar in his presence, torturing both of them, torturing an old man and an old woman because they say, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah," in the presence of the own son, and Ammar is watching, no power or strength from his, and can't do anything, and they are torturing his mother until they killed his mother in front of him. And they told him, "Oh Ammar, say something good about these idols and say something bad about Muhammad." So Ammar refused, and they forced him and forced him until they threatened to kill him. So he said, what they asked him to say about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt so bad and guilty that he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told him, O Prophet of Allah, I'm too shy to look at your face. O Prophet of Allah, it was such that came out of me, but it was out of my hand. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he smiled and he said, In عادوا فقل لهم مثل قولك هذا. If they go again and grab you and force you to say what you say, say it. Allah Azza wa Jal then revealed in the Quran al-Kareem, من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. In Surah Al-Nahl, where Allah says, whoever disbelieves in Allah Azza wa Jal, whoever disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after his belief because he was forced, whoever disbelieves in Allah or says something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they were forced after their belief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not judge them. Like the incident and the case with Ammar, he was forced to say something that he does not believe in or want to say, but because he was forced to say it, Allah azza wa jalla would not judge him. Allah will only judge what he intended and what he really had in his heart. And that wasn't the case of Ammar. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ammar is full of iman. Ammar is full of iman. Ammar, the iman had mixed with his bones. This is Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhum migrated. The migration of the Habasha, the second migration. And he also migrated to Medina with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he fought with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and participated in all the battles. The battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, and the rest of the battles. Radiallahu ta'ala an Ammar. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love Ammar so much. He used to love Ammar so much that one day when they were building the mosque of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ammar was singing few poetries. He was singing a few poems. So people that were around start to say a few things about Ammar. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave Ammar alone. He calls you to the paradise and you call him to the hellfire. Whoever upsets Ammar upsets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever upsets Ammar upsets Allah azza wa jal, if the term applies on Allah. And whoever makes Ammar angry is making Ammar angry. And whoever makes Ammar happy is making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Whoever is an enemy of Ammar is an enemy of Allah. And whoever hates Ammar hates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That once Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu argued with Ammar. And they had a small dispute. And of course the dispute, when we hear a dispute between the companions, it's not the dispute that we have these days. If someone says something, you turn your back away from them, never speak to them, to the day they die. That's if you do. Now if they dispute, they just get upset and then later on everything is forgotten. Once Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a dispute and a conflict with Ammar. So I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, "Man aada ammaran, aada Allah, wa man abghada ammaran, abghadahu Allah, aw aadahu Allah, abghadahu Allah." Whoever is an enemy of Ammar is an enemy of Allah, and whoever hates Ammar hates Allah. So Khalid ibn Walid ran to Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, seeking for his forgiveness. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ishtaqat al-jannatu ila thalath." اشتاقت الجنة إلى ثلاث. That three people that the Jannah, the paradise misses. Three people that the Jannah, the paradise looks forward to. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it misses Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it misses Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it misses Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, praising Ammar and praising the examples of Ammar for the believers to follow after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, follow those ones after me. Follow Abu Bakr, follow Ammar, and follow the guardians of Ammar. Follow the guardians of Ammar. And he says that Ammar would never ever leave the truth. Ammar would never ever leave the truth. Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a companion and was an example to grab onto the truth and never let go of the truth. was a great example to grab onto the truth and never ever let go of the truth. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Ammar will be killed, but the wrong and the mistaken party. Ammar will be killed by the wrong and the mistaken party. And what does that refer to? It refers to when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a conflict with Muawiyah, and the story we mentioned before, Ammar was with Ali. Ammar was with Ali. And Ammar walked out in the battle of Siffin, that the war took place, that the shaitan came between the believers and the Muslims, and the Muslims fought against each other. Ammar was 93 years old at that time, and he was with Ali. And people were waiting, who is going to kill Ammar, so they could know who to stand with. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ammar will be killed by the unjust and the mistaken party. That once a wall fell on the house of Ammar, and people came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling him, O Prophet of Allah, Ammar had passed away. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ammar did not pass away. Ammar will be killed by an unjust party. And yes, Ammar was alive, and he didn't die from that war that fell on him, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At the time of Ali, he stood by Ali, and he was 93 years old, and he went in the battle of Siffin. And the people with Muawiyah know the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it was mentioned so many times that Ammar will be killed by the unjust and the mistaken party. So they used to run away from Ammar if they used to see him in the battlefield. The people of Muawiyah, they used to run away from Ammar when they used to see him in the battlefield, until things got mixed and they killed Ammar. So when Ammar got killed, everyone, a lot of people that were with Muawiyah turned against Muawiyah with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then later on, the people of Muawiyah said, the one that killed him, Ali. How do you interpret that? Because he took him out to the war, so he's the one that killed him. He's the one that dragged him into this, so he's the one that killed him. This is the fitna that we spoke about before, and it's not a place to mention it now. So Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was killed by the mistaken and unjust party, and he was with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed at the age of 93, and he passed in that battlefield, the battle of Siffin, and he fought like a young man. They said Ammar was fighting like a full gang by himself. He never let go of the truth. He never let go of the truth radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was firm and strong. Another great companion is the companion of Suhaib bin Sinan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That companion that was with Ammar when the Ba'ath became Muslim at that time. When Ammar went to see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw another companion, he saw another man waiting that wants to enter the house of Dar al-Arqam. So Ammar told him, what are you here for? He said, I'm here. Well, he told him, why are you here for? So he said, I'm here to listen to Muhammad. So Ammar said, I'm also here to listen to the Prophet. So Suhaib and Ammar walked into the Dar of Arqam, listen to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Ba'ath became a Muslim. Suhaib ibn Sinan originally comes from Iraq. His father used to be one of the kings of Iraq under the ruling of Caesar. And one day the Romans came into the town of Suhaib and destroyed that town and captured Suhaib and took him as a prisoner of war. And then later on he was sold to be as a slave. And he was in Rome, and he was treated to be a slave, and he learned to speak the language of the people of Rome, and he learned a lot of things from the people of Rome. Then later on he was sold to Abdullah bin Jada'an, who is from Mecca, and he took him from Rome and brought him to Mecca. When he brought Suhaib, he liked Suhaib. Abdullah bin Jada'an, the master of Suhaib, liked Suhaib and the smartness of Suhaib. And Suhaib was a carpenter, and there wasn't many carpenters back then in Mecca, and he was very smart teenager, and he made a lot of money. That Abdullah ibn Jada'an later on freed Suhaib and let him free and made him a free man. And Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu later on became a Muslim, and he was one of the wealthiest people in Mecca. Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu migrated to Medina. And when he migrated to Medina, he was supposed to migrate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. But the non-believers delayed him and they will let him leave Mecca. So he ran and he ran out of Mecca secretly, running away from the non-believers. And they chased him until they caught him. And Suhaib was a very good thrower, a good arrow thrower. And he was a good fighter. So the non-believers of Mecca came to Suhaib and said, "But Allah would not let you go. You came to our city and town poor, had no money, had no food, and now you became rich from over our backs. We're not going to let you go." So Suhaib said, "By Allah, anyone that comes near me, I'm going to throw him with the arrow. And every single one of you knows that no one knows how to throw the arrow better than me. And when I finish from my arrows, I'm going to fight you with the sword." So he said, "It's either you do this, or I'll tell you where my money is in Mecca. Take it and let me go." So they said, "Tell us where your money in Mecca, and we'll let you go." And they believed him because they knew the believers don't lie. Subhanallah, they knew the believers don't lie. And then Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu chases up with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Medina. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam sees him from far, he says, "Rabiha al-Bay' Aba Yahya, Rabiha al-Bay' Aba Yahya." His name was Abu Yahya, the father of Yahya. That Suhaib, Rabiha al-Bay', he had succeeded and won in his trade. He had won in his business. He had won in his business. So Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu told the Prophet, "O Prophet of Allah, why are you telling me that for?" So the Prophet told him, "Didn't you give your money out to the people of Mecca so they could free and let you come here?" He said, "By Allah, Prophet Allah, no one knows this except me." So the Prophet ﷺ told him, "Jibreel told me the story, Rabiha al-Bay' Aba Yahya, that Suhaib Abu Yahya had succeeded and won in his business and trade." Abu Yahya, Suhaib had succeeded and won in his business and trade. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Jibreel informed me this." And then Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed a verse in the Quran Kareem, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَ وَابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And some people sell themselves to please Allah Almighty. And some people sell themselves to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some people sell themselves for this dunya. Some people sell themselves for the hereafter. And some people sell themselves for this dunya. The companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu sold themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. And they say, Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says about himself, "By Allah, I was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every battle. And I was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all events. I was in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And I was next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And I was behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all battles and all events." This Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it's been narrated that Suhaib had a good sense of humor. And one of the incidents that happened with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam saw Suhaib one day with a sore eye. One sore eye. And he was eating dates. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his sense of humor, he told Suhaib, "Oh Suhaib, are you eating dates with a sore eye?" So Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "Oh yes, I'm eating it with the other eye. I'm eating it with the other eye." That was Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And once Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu told Suhaib, "Oh Suhaib, there are three things in you. There are three things in you I don't understand." So Suhaib said, "And what is it, Umar ibn Khattab?" He said, "Your name is Abu Yahya and you've got no child. And you became from the Arabs and you are from the Rome. And you spend a lot of money on food and hospitality." So Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "The reason that my name is Abu Yahya is because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam named me Abu Yahya. And the reason that I became from the Arabs, although you call me as a Ram, I originally come from the Arabs. Spending a lot of money on food, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, خِيَارُكُمْ مَنْ أَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ. The best among you are those ones who give and spend good when it comes into feeding and hospitality. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever believes in Allah on the Day of Judgment, let them love Suhaib the way a mother loves his son. Whoever believes in Allah on the Day of Judgment, let them love Suhaib the way a mother loves her child." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said, "Do not make Suhaib upset." And sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, there are three winners. There are three winners. There are four winners. As-subbaq arba'a. There are four winners. He said, I am the winner of the Arabs. That means I became first from the Arabs to become a Muslim. Suhaib became first among the Romans to become a Muslim. Salman became first to become a Muslim among the Persians. And Bilal became first becoming a Muslim from among the Ethiopians. As-subbaq arba'a. There are four winners or four people who became first. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first of believers among the Arabs. Suhaib, the first of believers among the Romans. Salman, the first of believers among the Persians. And Bilal, the first of believers among the Ethiopians. This Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Radiallahu ta'ala an Suhaib. He died in Medina at the year of 38 in an old age. And the last companion is Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah to give victory to Khabbab. He said, Allahumma ansur Khabbab, and oh Allah, give victory to Khabbab. And Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also one of those weak companions who became Muslims. And he was one of the first people to become Muslims. Some narrations say he was the sixth or the seventh person to become a Muslim. And Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to wield swords. And people used to come and buy swords from Khabbab. And once Khabbab heard about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he heard about what the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is speaking and saying, so he gave himself those 2 minutes I was speaking out before, those 2 minutes for them to think about the truth and the reality of things. So Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, while he was wielding swords, two non-believers came from the leaders of Mecca, asking Khabbab for their swords. And Khabbab was just thinking about what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preaching. So Khabbab said it and spoke and said, by Allah, this man is saying the truth. So those two men, those two customers told him, who are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about that man that only says the truth and the lot comes from him. So they told him, who are you speaking about? He said, that man that came to take us out from the darkness to the light. So they knew, they said, are you talking about Muhammad? He said, yes, who else beside Muhammad that guides people to the truth? So those two people, those two leaders start to hit and punish and torture Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then they make him go unconscious and Khabbab wakes up, finds himself flooded with blood. And Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of those companions that didn't have a lot of protection and backup from a family. He comes from outside Mecca. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or one of the years he comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaning his back to the Kaaba saying, O Prophet of Allah, ask Allah to give us victory. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up in an angry way and he said, but Allah, it used to be with the ones before you. They used to be chopped into two pieces. This would not even take them away from the deen of Allah. And it used to be the ones before you. They used to be combed with an iron comb. This will not even turn them away from the deen of Allah. And by Allah, this religion will spread everywhere and reach everywhere. And Allah will perfect and complete this deen until a Muslim female, walk all the way from Hira, a place in Iraq, to Mecca by herself. She does not fear no one but Allah. And a shepherd will walk all the way from Sana'a to Hadramaut by himself, does not fear no one but Allah. And the wolf is attacking his sheep. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are people in rush and hurry. You are people in rush and hurry. Wait for the victory of Allah. Allah will send his victory down. And Allah Azza wa Jal will send his opening down. Just have patience. And this is the hikmah and the wisdom of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the more the companions is to face from hardships, the more the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to look forward to the victory and the opening of Allah. The more it becomes tighter on the believers, the more Allah opens it. And the more it becomes opens, the more it becomes tighter on the believers. So when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to inform the companions about the great openings and about the great victory that Allah will send down in the most hardest and toughest times. This is the wisdom of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a debt with Al-As bin Wa'il. And he came to him one day and he said, give me my debt. So Al-As said, but Allah would not give you your debt unless you disbelieve in Muhammad. So Khabbab said, but Allah will not disbelieve in Muhammad until you die and come back and resurrected. So he said, then I'll give you debt back when I die and then get resurrected, and then I'll give you money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that story in the Quran al-Kareem. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتِيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا اِطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبَ أَمِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ عَهْدًا كَلَّا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدًّا وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ وَيَأْتِينَ فَرْدًا. Have you seen that one that disbelieves in the verses of Allah and said that I'll be given money and children? Has he seen the unseen? Or does he have a pledge with Allah, the Most Merciful? We had written on them what have they said, and we had written on them the long, severe punishment. And radiallahu ta'ala an, Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala an, fought with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and participated on all the events and the battles with alayhi salatu wa salam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And it was Abu Bakr and Umar who gave, he told the believers after them, if you want to follow the truth, follow Khabbab. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala an passed away, and he passed away in the fitna at the time of Ali and Muawiyah, and he was buried in Kufa. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina istami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. My brothers and sisters, these stories, as I said, is not for the sake of entertainment, not for the sake of sitting down and listening to them. It's for the sake of trying to become like these people. Trying to get some of their lives, some of their attributes, some of their good qualities. Us to become like them. If we can't become like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was a prophet and messenger, you could become like his companions. Look at their sacrifice. Look at their effort. Look at their strive for the sake of Allah. Compare what we do for Allah and compare what they used to do for Allah. Compare what we do for Allah and compare what they used to do for Allah. Compare what we sacrifice for Allah and compare what they sacrifice for Allah. Compare what we strive for Allah and compare what they strived for Allah. Compare that, Ikhwani. You're not going to find a percentage. That's why, my brothers and sisters, let's take them as our examples. Let's take them as our examples. Let's look up to them. Instead of us looking up to the wrong people, let's look up to the right people. Look up to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You look up to them, you follow them, you follow them, you succeed like them in this world and the hereafter. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Ihdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aslih ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ighfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat. Al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Innaka rabbana qaribun mujibun lid da'awat. Unsur al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Ya muqallib al qulub wal absar. ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب الأبصار صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه استخدمنا لدينك ورفع آية نبيك اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.